Shukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, the cursing of the brahmanas was only a plea, but the actual fact was the supreme desire of the Lord. He wanted to disappear from the face of the earth after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows." Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami replied.
Shukadeva Goswami replied.
My dear king.
My dear king.
The cursing of the brahmanas was only a plea.
The cursing of the brahmanas was only a plea.
But the actual fact was the supreme desire of the Lord. He wanted to disappear from the face of the earth. After dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows.
All right, Maharaj, we're ready.
Okay. I'll add a little bit here because it says he thought to himself as follows, so I'll just kind of say what he thought. Okay. In text 30 says then, Krishna says, "Now I shall leave the vision of this mundane world, and I see that Uddhava, the foremost of my devotees, is the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge about me. Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way, because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead." Sukadeva Goswami informed the king that Uddhava, being thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all Vedic knowledge and the spiritual master of the three worlds, reached the pilgrimage site of Bhadrik Ashram and engaged himself in trance to satisfy the Lord. Okay. So in our PowerPoint show, let's go to text number 5, which is the purport, slide number 5. Then Prabhupada says, in this verse, the word tyakshan is very significant in relation to Lord Sri Krishna's leaving his body. Since he is the eternal form of existence, knowledge, and bliss, his body and his self are identical. Therefore, how is it possible that he would leave his body and then disappear from the vision of the world? There is a great controversy amongst the non-devotees or mayavadis about the mysterious disappearance of the Lord. The doubt of those men with a poor fund of knowledge has been very elaborately cleared by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Sandarbha. Text slide number 6. According to Brahma Samhita, the Lord has many forms. It is stated therein that the Lord has innumerable forms. And when he appears within the vision of the living entities, as Lord Krishna actually appeared, all such forms amalgamate with him. So, of course, in the Krishna book, it also mentions this, that usually the maintenance of the material world takes place through different avatars. As remember, they come from, they come through Garbhodaksha Vishnu, saying, maybe Shuradaksha Vishnu, but they come through one of the Paramatmas there. And they perform their functions within the material world. Of course, the different avatars we see have their place in the Vaikuntha worlds also, where people can go and associate with them there, and in their Nitya Lila. But within their Boma Lilas, showing some pastime or else maintaining the material world in different ways, then they come. But then Prabhupada says that Krishna is the supreme personality of the of the Godhead. You know? So when Krishna came, Advaita, Nityananda, everybody amalgamated with him. He appeared with them automatically like that. You know? Okay. Prabhupada says, when he appears within the vision of living entities, as Lord Krishna actually appeared, all such forms amalgamate with him. Besides all these infallible forms, he has his universal form. Okay, now we're contrasting the infallible forms with the universal form. As manifested before Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Here in this verse, the word spitam is also used, which indicates that he left his gigantic universal form called the Virat Rup. I can understand it because it says kulaspitam. In the translation, it also says numerous family members. So I looked up in the dictionary, and the word spitam is also means like numerous, like that, so on. So maybe now. Okay, so then Prabhupada says, here in this verse, the word spitam is also used, which indicates that he left his gigantic universal form, yeah, called the Virat Rup, not his primeval eternal form, because there is hardly any possibility of his changing his form of Satchidananda. Slide number 7, please, Master. This simple understanding is at once realized by the devotees of the Lord, but those who are non-devotees who perform hardly any devotional service to the Lord either do not understand this simple fact or purposely raise a controversy to defeat the eternity of the transcendental body of the Lord. This is due to the defect called the cheating propensity of the imperfect living entities. Page slide number 8. By practical experience also, it is seen up to the present day that the Lord's transcendental form is worshipped by devotees in different temples, and all the devotees of the Lord actually realize that the form of the deity in the temple is non-different from the form of the Lord. This inconceivable performance of the internal potency of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita 7:25. Aham prakash sarvasya yoga maya samavita. So actually it's 7:20-21 or something. There's many verses there talking about how Krishna is not manifest to different people like that. They think that he's assumed this form and so on. So Prabhupada continues, the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. Yeah. And the purport here, Prabhupada talks, I think, is about how some people like Arjuna and a few others could appreciate Bhishma. Prabhupada says that the Rajasuya sacrifice, grandfather Bhishma, fully supported Krishna being the object of Agra Puja, the first worship, you know, and being established as the foremost personality of Rajasuya sacrifice. You know, and a few others like that. You know. But he reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. In the Padma Purana, it is said, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavir Grayam Indrayi Bhakti Vasamita Sindhu 1-234. The name and form of the Lord cannot be perceived by the material senses. But when he appears within the vision of mundane people, he assumes the form of the Virat Rup. Okay, and slide number 9. This is an additional material exhibition of form, okay, and is supported by the logic of a subject and its adjectives. This is an additional material exhibition of form and is supported by the logic of a subject and its adjectives. In grammar, when an adjective is taken away from the subject it modifies does not change. Similarly, when the Lord quits his Virat Rup, his eternal form does not change. Although there is no material difference between himself and any one of his innumerable forms. In the fifth canto, it will be seen how the Lord is worshipped in different planets in his different forms, even now, and how he is worshipped in different temples on this earth also. So fifth canto, there's prayers by the inhabitants of Damodwip and different varshas, and Lakshmi's worshipping Kamadev, Kala's worshipping Lord Nrsimhadev, Hanuman's worshipping Lord Ram, Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya Namarya Lakshana Upashtika Lakshana Upashtika Lokaya. And all these forms are different variegated forms that Krishna has. Okay. And number 10. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur have very elaborately explained this incident of the Lord's disappearance in their commentaries, quoting various authentic versions of Vedic literatures. We purposely do not include them all here to avoid an increase in the volume of this book. The entire matter is explained in Bhagavad Gita as quoted above. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. He always keeps himself out of the vision of the non-devotees who are devoid of love and devotion, unless he puts them still further away from him. Okay? Because, of course, if they're close to him, they'll be committing offenses, which is not good for their own existence. One thing also struck me is that, you know, Prabhupada's making specific choices about how much to include in his purports and, you know, how long his classes should be, like that. I heard from Govinda Maharaj, Prabhupada's god-nephew, Chudamar is a disciple, well-known. He said, before anybody puts one finger in the West to preach, he has to pay his obeisances to Swami Maharaj. And he was talking about Prabhupada. So he's accepting Prabhupada. Actually, every day, as far as I heard, in the ashram in Soquel in Santa Cruz, California, along with their morning prayers, there was one prayer composed by Govinda Maharaj declaring that Prabhupada was a Shakti Avesh avatar of Lord Nityananda, empowered to preach in the Western worlds, like that, you know. So, So Prabhupada's making this choice, no, of how much to apply, how many rounds, how long are the classes, and how big should the purports be, like that. Yeah, adjusting everything for our particular situation and nature, like that. Okay, they come on down, as Prabhupada says. The Lord appeared on the invitation of Brahma, who prayed before the Shuradaksha Vishnu, and therefore when the Lord appeared, all the forms of Vishnu amalgamated with him, and when the mission was fulfilled, all of them disintegrated from him in the usual course. Okay, next slide, number 11. Okay, that's the end of the purports. Yeah. So for us, the impression was that Krishna is there with Ram and Nrsimha and Varaha. They're in his personality. And then the Lord of Vaikuntha, Vaikunthapati, and then the Lila avatars, you know, and different Shakti Avesha avatars. You know. And of course, in the Virat Roop. And this Virat Roop is the it's the functional, is that what it is? No, it's the objective material incarnation of Krishna. Lord Shiva is the functional material body. That goes, mm-hmm. Functional material body of Krishna. And the Virat Roop is the objective material incarnation. Objective material incarnation. And the Prabhupada says, of course, Krishna never becomes a material object. It's a very, very curious, you know, form like that. You know? Yeah. I would say, you know, in most of our dealings, we see people, but all we actually experience, see, perceive, smell, taste, you know, is their objective material form, like that. Objective material form. So all of our relationships with our family members, with our employers and co-workers, you know, co-citizens, you know, is all actually not with them. It's with their, you know, objective material, you know, incarnation, like that. So on. You know? But of course, Krishna's, you know, universal form is different. You know? So my perspective on this is that we say that like the clouds are the hairs on his head, you know, the great mountains that hold everything up, great stone mountains, are the bones of his body, and the rivers are his veins, the ocean is his stomach, the sun and the moon are his eyes, the passing of the days is the movement of his eyebrows, like that, you know. So all these things, you know, the sunsets are the color, is the color of his dhoti. So kind of the reverse aspect of it is that if we're in this like little bit separatist consciousness, you know, want to enjoy the material world through material senses, you know, rasa, then when we look at Krishna's eyes, we see the sun and the moon. When we look at Krishna's hair, we see the beautiful clouds. When we look at his, you know, we see his stomach acting, and we see the ocean like that. You know? So of course it's quite a step up if we can see this beauty in Krishna. And as Prabhupada is saying, the deity in the temple and all deities are, you know, are not different from Krishna. So in the beginning, for example, our temple president, first temple president, practically speaking, was Bhakta Das. Bhutatma was there for a little bit, but when we actually finally moved in, it was Bhakta Das. And he joined in Los Angeles. He was pretty much a Marxist, he said, at the university. And one devotee was selling a book and preaching to him. And after some time, he said to himself, kind of like, my God, if I have any kind of honesty or integrity, I should buy the book, because, you know, the guy is just defeating my philosophy one point after another, you know. So he bought Prabhupada's books, and he was moving the temple, and he told us that it was like maybe about a couple months, you know, of being there and becoming purified before he realized that, you know, understood, perceived that the deity, Radha Giridhari, was different than a picture of Krishna, like on the wall or something. You know? So in the beginning, his appreciation for Krishna, the deity, was just kind of like some kind of material form that we look at. You know? Yeah? Or maybe some Brahman appreciation, like realizing the sat nature, but maybe not even that, the way he was describing it. Because if some madman came in the temple and, you know, with a very sharp, razor-sharp, big knife, you know, some guy from the Vietnam War or something, or Iraq War, you know, and started like, you know, attacking the Vyasa-san or something, or attacking some, you know, ornaments in the walls, then we might, like, you know, call the police and look to restrain him in general, call for more devotees, look for some counter weapon like broom handle or something, you know. But if somebody guy came in with a gun and was going to shoot Radha Giridhari and just blow the marble bodies to pieces, you know, then most of us would probably just suddenly stand in front of them and go, okay, maybe we'll give them a couple seconds more, maybe something will happen, somebody will save them. And what an opportunity. I mean, like, if you die saving Krishna's form, you know, then it's what an opportunity, you know. So this realization of the deity, but what is the realization of the deity? Because that's very, very principle for us. Nama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtana Smrutmusmit Vicho. Nama Rupa Charitadi Chittapiya Vidya. So, of course, those verses, Spanish. Of course, two verses in Upadeshamrita talk about this sequence, that Nama Rupa, the first we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And so the actual motivation as we become purified and we faithfully chant and serve is that then we want to see the form. Where is Krishna? Where is this Krishna? Where is Rama? We're chanting. So then maybe we'll open a book or sit in front of the deities, install deities, or look at a picture, change our focus. Okay, because we're going to look at something. Okay, yeah. And even if we close our eyes, then we'll start becoming, either we'll fall asleep or else we'll become conscious of the internal world. Bala, how's it go? Bala na karibe ara bala na paribe. Radha Krishna hridayete sarvadasaribe. It's quoted right there in the first verse of Upadeshamrita purport. My sannyasi brother, bala na karibe ara bala na paribe. Don't eat luxurious foods and don't wear fine clothes. Bhakti Siddhanta in his instructions to his sannyasi said that they should all go barefoot and they should not engage in foppery. Foppery. Becoming a fop. Dressing very, very stylishly or something to impress other people, to impress women. So, Balana Kuribe or Balana Paribe, Radha Krishna Hridayete Sarvadasaribe. But always serve Shishi Radha and Krishna in your heart of heart. Several verses, maybe all of them, from this instruction by Jagadananda. This is from Jagadananda's Prema Vivarta. Okay. And several of the verses are right there also in Chaitanya Charitamrita in instructions to Rupa Goswami, to Raghunath Goswami. Lord Chaitanya was instructing Raghunath Das Goswami. So yeah, if a thief sees a saint, all he sees are his pockets, like that, how he can rob him. So with this materialistic consciousness, we're only thinking of how somebody else can gratify our senses. A man is thinking how he can manipulate a woman's senses to gratify himself, or how she can cook for him, or how she can attract big business people or something, in terms of her abilities to arrange the house, to arrange parties. And simultaneously, a woman is thinking, a man, oh, some source of children. I'll be surrounded by grandchildren on a rocking chair when I'm old, and I'll be protected and have a nice position in society. We're reading today, Papa says that at some point here, that materialistic view means trying to enjoy the world through the material senses. When rasa with matter, rasa with fire, earth, air, ether, water, mind, intelligence, like that. At least the gross elements through the senses. Like that. And basically trying to serve them, because we're truly servants. So the virat rup, this form, in some ways will be a little bit more elevated, because now we're beginning to see variety and so on. And the beginning, of course, is the holy name. I notice myself when I'm chanting now, sometimes, usually what happens when I'm chanting, the names are more in the mode of goodness, maybe for a variety of reasons. Then I'm chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, there's an incarnation of Krishna's form. And usually for me, it's occurring more in the head. I'm still, in the mode of passion to some degree. But appreciating, okay, we're really trying to get this incarnation to appear in the heart. And we're trying to actually to worship the Supreme Lord within our heart of hearts. And Prabhupada's explaining to Raghunath, that's for sannyasi. But of course, any Goswami, any Grihastha can also be Goswami. But maybe again, because you have to be conditioned. And how fast can we change our conditioning? Can we put ourselves in our working mode, or put ourselves in our, in our family mode, or put ourselves in different kinds of modes? So we have to condition our consciousness to a certain attitude. So therefore, in Grihastha ashram, or traveling in the material world and preaching to people, it's very natural then that we're in this sensuous, physical perspective mode of consciousness. So in the form of the Lord, the deity becomes very important. Prabhupada's saying an advanced devotee, he will stay where the deity is installed and get direct inspiration from the deities like that. So myself, I know if I stay in one place, like the Bhaktivedanta Institute, where, you know, preaching in this basically kind of grihastha atmosphere, you know, and so I would start to think, well, this little, you know, there were two walk-in, small walk-in closets in the old building where the Bhaktivedanta Institute was, kind of small spaces, but, you know, big enough to kind of stand inside, pretty much, you know, they were right in the peak of the roof. So Abhimanyu Das took up one, I took up the other as our abodes. And but I was starting to think, this is my closet space, you know. Somebody said, well, Marge, you've got to move out so we can put some paraphernalia here for the Institute, you know. I would have started grumbling or something, you know. So anyway, I could see I was staying there. I was starting to become attached. So then I started to do the 4 o'clock, 4:30 Dupartik every day. I started to cook muffins like that. And then I offered them all to Krishna, you know. And I saw, like, you know, it's very direct when you're offering. Prabhupada says that I'm worshiping the deity. No, bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga forces us onto the mental platform. So I'm sitting there moving the stick of incense in circles, you know. And my mind says, what are you doing? Why are we doing this? You know? That forces us onto the mental platform to try and figure out what's happening, like this and that. And very much, you know, the perspective changed. You know, perspective would be invoked that this is Krishna's house. Everything here belongs to him. And I don't have to fear other people taking away, you know, my gratification, because they also are not the proprietors. You know? And I'm looking at Krishna, Krishna's smiling. You know, Krishna's clean. You know, Krishna's a nice person, like that. You know? So the Nama Rupa Charit, the name becomes manifest and the form becomes manifest. Then the qualities that the form has, like that, and so on. So this point of, pretty much, like I would say, also Prabhupada, when he's talking about the Virat Rupa realization, you know, and it's the first step in God realization. It's in the first chapter of the second canto. And it's pretty much the first step in God realization. And it's equated with pantheism or Brahman or Sat. You know? Yeah. But of course, there's already some variegatedness, you know, some variety. Yeah. So Prabhupada says it counteracts the tendency towards impersonalism. And of course, science, you know, which is our predominating mode of knowing in so many ways, still, you know, people trying to understand life through science to a large degree. Carl Jung tried to make some other kind of perspective, although he wanted psychology to become a science. He wanted what he was doing to be a science, just like Prabhupada. It's interesting. Yeah. But at the same time, too, he was, you know, science was also open for the definition at that point. And the new modern science of atomic physics was just becoming prominent at that time. So science itself was open for definition. And to include subtle states of consciousness, subtle realm, you know, wasn't all that impossible. Although it seemed to have got closed out and got clamped down. And so in the West, such the United States, it wasn't possible then to include these in the normal curriculum education like that. Yeah. So the perception, what are we seeing? Yeah. Tat Chit Ananda. So maybe a little bit of chit, consciousness or something like that. But mostly not. You know, when we see the deities, are the deities, do we see them interactively? Are they angry with us, you know? Are they happy to see us? Are they sad we're going? You know? Does Krishna look a little like, what's the word, miffed? And Radharani's kind of smiling smugly, you know, like that. Some little, you know, battle of a chess game or something, you know? So this is a gradual realization. And all these forms are there with Krishna. When Krishna comes, he brings them all with him. They amalgamate in his body. So if somebody wants to approach Krishna that way, probably saying the atheists or the mundane wranglers, you know, in their experience of Krishna, and maybe even a little higher than just the mundane wranglers, actually experience the Virat Rupa. And if we have some service attitude, probably saying, you know, then that will allow us to advance and seeing how beautiful is the deity. Oh, Krishna's eyes are like the sun and the moon. Oh, Krishna's lips are like this. He describes it. Or his eyebrows and his eyes are like two lotus flowers with a pair of dancing fish. You know? So at that point, you know, these descriptions are there, and people maybe who have some nice attitude. They see the deities and they think, so beautiful. The temple is so nice. And then we'll be trying to give poetic descriptions like that. And so if we're not advanced enough, that's all we see. It's quite an advanced thing. It's not talking about Krishna's enemies. So he leaves this form, you know, for us to worship. Coming to mind, too, is also that in the Bible, Christ says to his followers, I leave you the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, when I'm gone, Holy Spirit, maybe more Paramatma-type position. But the difference between Paramatma and Virat Roop may be there, the next may be Hiranyagarbha, and then finally then, you know, Paramatma. You know? And then that's where I would say that the form becomes interactive. Before it's pretty much like Shantaras or just worshipping, respecting. But as we go internally, and we start to see the Paramatma, and he has desires, giving instructions. It's the beginning of Dasya Ras. You know? A little bit higher, like in Nayoja then, there's Dasya Ras with some mixture of Sakya Ras. So Hanuman not only did his service, which was to find Sita, but he took up a secondary service, which was to meet Ravana and challenge him and investigate the, you know, the nature of Ravana's defenses and his troops and stuff. So, and as we see the deity, we see all these things, you know, like that goes on. And we're very fortunate because Krishna incarnates, you know, and we can see these. And Prabhupada will say it's only possible by the mercy of pure devotee. The descriptions are there, but the actual experience, you know, Prabhupada says that the experience of Krishna is direct, but it is through the transparent via media of the spiritual master. I say sometimes I feel it's hard to glorify Prabhupada. This is like glorifying a clean window. You know, the spiritual master's job is to be transparent, you know. But, yes, you know, in a little higher sense, that transparency then starts to take on some mamata, some personal possession. So not only is a form of Krishna beautiful, yeah, but then the pujari tries to put things in a certain way, not to cover it, so that Krishna's smile and everything else is emphasized like that. So pretty much that's all the kind of thoughts we had on this purport, this section. Of course, you know, this is, again, creating the whole ambience, the background, you know, the preface, but pretty much to, in some ways, next thing is my Maitreya, the next step internally, will be what Krishna told Uddhava, and Maitreya heard. And so Vidura will go and asking questions, of course, will be very stimulating. Sometimes you're not sure what to say, and Vidura says, Gurudev, maybe you should talk about this now. He says, oh, yes, yes, yeah. So for our perception is that Uddhava is a more advanced devotee than Maitreya. You know? And by having the opportunity to preach to him, it stimulates him to a higher realization like that. You know? So any questions, comments anybody else has?
Oh, it's just a minor question. You were speaking, and you were mentioning how Prabhupada had adjusted everything and lined out our whole process of devotional service and our process of purification. And you mentioned classes, and you even mentioned how long class should be. It seems that Prabhupada's classes, I guess if you sort of average it out, if you listen to his tapes and so on, they seem to be, I never timed them, but I would guess like 20-some minutes, 23 minutes or 22 minutes kind of on average. A lot of our classes sometimes run hour and a half. Did Prabhupada say anything specific about length of classes?
No, I didn't. I haven't heard anything, but I seem like you too. Some of them are shorter, 20 minutes, and some go 45 minutes. But I think it's very rare to go a full 1 hour. But I think too also then Prabhupada would have a lot of, many times have question and answers would go on like that, you know. There'd be a fair amount of questions and answers. And I was also thinking, okay, what came up in my mind was Subhag Swami was talking about Guru Govindamar as his class, the standard in Orissa. What they do in Orissa, and you see this also, is this Bhagavad Gita, there'll be like some preaching, and they'll kick right into like a bhajan, like that, and they have the group right there. They'll pick right up, and they'll sing for a while, and they'll go back to talking again, you know. And so that way, of course, it goes on. And in Orissa, it's called kata, you know, Swamiji's having kata. And so then it goes on for maybe, everybody expects at least like 3 hours, you know, that kind of thing. But it's a mixture of different things like that. But I think it's the whole thing again is that Prabhupada says that, you know, Westerners find it difficult to concentrate on beads for such a long time. Therefore, we have prescribed the minimum number of 16 rounds like that and so on. So,
I was going to say that, but with our classes, we do chant Jaya Radha Madhava, and then we all chant the verse together and the purport. And practically speaking, by the time it's about 20, 25 after, and then the speaker talks for about 20 to 30 minutes at the most. And then after that, it's questions and answers. So it's almost the same.
We have a great formula, Ramananda. I think you've done a great job. And I know sometimes it's hard for you to hold it back. It's enlivening, where sometimes nobody wants to quit when we get into discussion. It really holds to where Krishna says, much citta and much citta prana bodhiyant parasparam katyantad nicham chushanticha ramanticha, that the devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and speaking about me. It's often, sometimes, a particularly enlivening part of the class when we get to the questions and answers, and sometimes it gets emotional, and sometimes it gets... it takes all different forms. You never know what's going to happen often when we get into the questions and answers, but that's always a favorite part.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted somebody.
No, Ramananda, please, go ahead.
Okay, just real quick, what I was going to say, Maharaj, I have one question to ask you about the purport. It's a wonderful purport, I thought, that all the forms of the Lord, they amalgamate within the appearance of Sri Krishna. So one of those forms is also the Virat. So what people saw that were non-devotees, they saw the Virat of Krishna, not his transcendental form when he appeared. So in the same way, in our contaminated state, when we perform seva aparad, are we seeing the Virat of the Lord? You know, we're not actually seeing the real deity form of the Lord. We're seeing stone and wood. And when we chant, with Nam Aparad, we're hearing the material sound of Hare Krishna. We're not actually hearing the spiritual sound. Because the reason why I'm asking this is because Krishna can never be contaminated. Similarly, just like his name can never be contaminated. But then why is it that when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't directly see Krishna himself? So is that we're actually hearing a material sound, not the transcendental sound?
Well, again, it's just like there are different kinds of people. That's my realization. Like there are some people with Indian names who are very, very popular kirtan singers who come from Santa Cruz, California, whose names we won't mention. and they chant Jaya Jehovah and so many things, you know. But I hear devotees hearing it sometimes. And kind of like sensuously, it's very gratifying, you know. It's great, great sense gratification. And especially also in India, too, there's so many, like, you know, different kinds of sense-gratifying presentations. So that's what I would say, is that it's not even the Virat Roop at that point, you know. I mean, sometimes you also see these things like India, and Indian songs, like it will say, you are my Radha, I am your Krishna, you know. It goes back and forth like that. So, you know, it's sahaja. I mean, there's something there, okay. I say, Prabhupada said it's better to be a sahajiya than a mayavadi. The mayavadis are hopelessly impersonal. He said, but the Sahajiyas at least think Krishna is worth imitating. You know, so on. So I would say that's not even the Sahajiya, they're not even the universal form. He's just projecting, you know, his mundane, you know, stimulation into Radha and Krishna. So on. But a little higher, then yeah, you start to begin to appreciate and leave all this stuff and go out walking in nature and see the beautiful river and you know, these kind of things. Like I was saying, as I was seeing there, maybe you can see, like, see the words that spontaneously come when you're trying to, someone like that's trying to describe the deity. You say, oh, I'm here at Radha Bunky Bihari, Radha Bunky Bihari, just like a big, big basket full of fruit. You know? Yeah. And then you're seeing in that form. But like you say, then, yeah, we did, what was it go? Pratimanaha tume sakshad vijendra anandana. And that's what, what's his name? Sakshi Gopal, the Brahmin, told him. The deity, he was talking with the deity, and the deity said, well, I never heard of the deity walking. And then he said, Pratima Nahatumi, you're not a statue. Sakshad Vajendra Nandana. You know? If you can talk, you can walk. So that's a different level. You know? Yeah. So I would say, yeah, with different people perceiving different things, and according to this purport, my appreciation was that this is what's happening. I was kind of wondering for me is that he left the universal form, you know? Yeah, but he did. You know, he left that perspective of it, and people can approach him to that attitude and stuff all over the world. You see that kind of thing going on in Christian religion, Greek Orthodox, you know, and Confucius, you know, appreciating the potency and the beauty of nature. And of course, here, with some devotional attitude like that, then it does give some personal impression of things like that.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Mahesh.
Haribol.
In respect to Ramananda's point there, you know, it just should be for the record, the name of the Lord is never material, never, ever. The name of the Lord is always spiritual. Otherwise, we have to refer to the sixth canto with the story of Ajamil, when he said the name of Narayan to mean his son, actually the Vishnudutta showed up. So, you know, that's the example that the name of the Lord, even though it may not be said with proper intention, spiritual intention, still had an effect. Otherwise, Ajamil wouldn't have been saved, wouldn't it?
But the thing is that Ajamil chanted Nama Bas. Yeah. And this again is the example, like before the four potency, before the sun comes up over the horizon, already there's light. You know? So his chant, yeah, the name is transcendental and pure. But then Krishna, the Prabhupada says here, the Krishna drives the atheist away, he gives him something else. So we may be getting something which is not the holy name. But unless it's received through parampara, through a bona fide, one of the four bona fide sampradayas, the mantra you may have, you know, something else. But of course, like you're saying, it depends. If somebody's offensive, like Shishupal, you know, Shishupal, he's a kind of special example, but he was a this example given in the Gita also, that Vishnudeva was appreciating Krishna. Shishupal was sitting there blaspheming Krishna, his name and everything else. But they're attached, you know, in hate, Jaya and Vijay, so they have a different kind of relationship. But then some people, you know, they're totally materialistic, and they don't hate Krishna or love him. They're just totally marginalized. You know? So like you see, the name doesn't appear on their lips so much, you know, like that. But then it can be covered. So what we're getting is the covering, you know, not the actual name. Because Ajamil, yeah, he wasn't offensive at the point like that. But so what he got was Nama Bas, and then because of that, you know, he was able to go ahead and make more progress.
Maharaj, can I interrupt for a minute? I don't know where the sound is coming from. It sounds like a vacuum cleaner or something.
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is. I couldn't tell where it was coming
from. I'll mute myself. I'm terribly sorry.
Okay.
I'm terribly sorry.
Haribol, Ramananda Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to mention, I was going to mention a point about the time and class, but the more recent question brought up is I think, more pertinent. And that's about the way that we see the deities in the temple. And actually, it's a great difference between how we see the deity in the temple when we have Shraddha, especially when we enter the process of bhakti, especially after taking Harinam and Diksha from a bona fide guru. Then the conception of how we see Thakaji is not at all like the Virat Roop, because the Virat Roop is as much a conception about God as it is a vision that people see. So when you see things written in relation to the Virat Roop, it's people who were non-devotees or who had impersonal conception of Bhagavan. So when Krishna left during Mosala Lila, it says he left this form manifest from Virat Roop for those people. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Guru Parampara, though we are not qualified to see the Satchidananda Roop of Krishna, Krishna himself comes and accepts a Visesh Graha. So Graha means like a housing, Visesh means like a speciality. So he accepts in 8 different ways a speciality of manifestation in this world for those devotees who have not yet become competent for his darshan to encourage their faith. So Vigraha means Visesh Graha, that he's accepted this special form out of his mercy. So he's actually there. Radhika's actually there. Mahaprabhu's actually there. And Sri Nam also is the subsidy of Mahaprabhu, because that verse is there. Chiravatadam nijaguptavitam swanama prem amrita atyudara apamara yovitatara gura. So even those who have no adhika, apamara means very fallen, Mahaprabhu subsidized Sri Nam, that even if a person has no qualification, if he has Shraddha, faith, and he begins to take to Nam with that faith, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur Bhajan Maharshi says that faith will unfold the processes from Shraddha to Bhav, and after Bhav will unfold all Ashtaka Lila Lila. So Harinam, because it's subsidized by Mahaprabhu, and then additionally subsidized by Guru directly, oh, it is also a Nam. It is also the actual Nam. But it will become sued, it will become fully manifest, its potency, as we progress through the stages from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, but like this. So, but it was a really great question. Really great.
Jai.
What might you have said about the length of classes? You said that you were going to say something, but you entertained the other question instead.
Oh, just that, I know I met Pujapad Srila Guru Gobind Maharaj once. I was doing Tirthayatra to go to the places that Mahaprabhu went in South India. And I stopped in Bhubaneswar, and I had one question. I was doing research on the Alwars, how they related to our Bhakti tradition. I asked him this one question. He spoke for like 2.5 hours nonstop without any books or anything. So I began to realize this is just the norm in India. And also, in India, in the general culture of India, Harikatha is also their entertainment mechanism. I'm not minimizing Harikatha. I'm saying that, like, in the Western world, we had movies and cinema and sports. They do as well in India, and it's become more prominent. But historically, Harikatha was the entertainment. People would get up, go to their village, and any sadhu would come, and he would speak the stories of Ramayana Mahabharata. For what to speak of 2 or 3 hours, it would be 7-day program for Bhagavat, 9-day program for Ramayana. So it's built into the culture in some ways as partly entertainment. So it's not that everybody goes there is listening deftly for the absolute truth.
Nice. Guess that's always going to be the standard, or should always be the standard, when devotees come together. Satang prasangang mama virya sangado. That nice verse, yeah? Avanti vikang rasayana kata. That's what's in the Ashvapavarga Vartmani Shadhara Tir Bhaktira Nukam Shati. That when devotees come together, they're going to talk about Krishna and drink that nectar.
Well, so thank you, Maharaj, so much for your mercy. Very nice class. Very happy I was able to hear it today.
it's nice, for me, it's always very nice. Nice point during the week. You can get a chance to this class. And so traveling is a little difficult sometimes, but we also been, you know, makes this nice effort to be in the Sangha. And we're also glorifying it too, telling people about the program. Other people should emulate it. This is a modern world. God, my God, is it before? I mean, everybody exists like atomic particles flowing here and there.
Maharaj, I know it's past time, but can I just ask one other question, please?
Yeah, what is the purpose of, what is the duty of a man at the time of death, especially?
I was just going to, you, towards the end of your talk, you again mentioned about the Hiranyagarbha. Somewhere that I just, in my dullness, I still can't get it. Can you again explain what is
that's an impression coming, because see, we're doing this Bhakti by Bhava program, and we just actually just finished, you know. Now we're trying to clean up all of our paperwork and all that kind of stuff. And actually, we our little group of maybe, what is it, eight people, will be the first North American, you know, graduated USA, made in the USA, Bhakti by Bhavas, by Bhavans, whatever. And so now we're trying to clean everything up and so forth, so on. And in Texas at the end of July will be this North American symposium. Anybody wants to participate, you can do the second time. And Seisha, Radhika, so many people will be there. Vishambar from a lot of primary school people. And from Mexico also, because North America. So that's one thing is Shastric education. And it's the whole thing of, like we're discussing, you know, before trying to make it systematic, but at the same time to not lose the you know, the interesting, spontaneous aspect of the thing. So anyway, in this process, you're going through the first six cantos, there's a continuous repetition of this discussion of different Krishna's incarnations, and especially the, you know, Virat Rupa and things like that, and the Paramatma and Shasarga, Disarga, these things, you know. And so, and a couple of many things. One thing is that it's all the same thing. Whether you're talking to Officer Smith, Daddy, you know, Bob Smith or Honey, it's all the same guy, you know. So it may, you know, be a little bit fluid sometimes. We see what we're talking about, which particular form or incarnation. So, but as far as like reading ourselves, because if we talk about, for example, that Hiranyagarbha yogis, they go to Brahma, and usually they're liberated along with him at the time of the cosmic dissolution and so on like that. So describing the Virat Rupa, as far as my comprehension is going, the Virat Rupa is this very external point of view, like in the mountains, you know, rivers, you know, fragrance of the springtime, the light of the sun, the taste of water, you know. And it's interesting, what's his name? John Denver, you know, sunshine on my, what is it? Sunshine on the waters is so lovely, sunshine in my eyes can make me cry, you know. In other words, he has another one about country roads taking home, about Virginia, West Virginia. So he said back from the very time I was a little child, I was very much attracted by nature. So he really made a lot of money. Also, I mean, a lot of people, I think, raised him up. But he's kind of an example, I would say, of somebody who is in that level of pretty much of, you know, pantheistic, in the first canto, second canto, Prabhupada says pantheism. He's the Virat Rupa meditation in the second canto, first chapter, first step in God realization. Sat, Brahman, pantheism. You know? And it says without a devotional attitude, it won't have much effect. You know? Yeah, I want to serve nature. People become ecologists because they figure out this is a better way to exploit the planet. They become interested in ecology because they say, oh, yeah, this is a better way to exploit things. Veda, Vata, Raka. Now we can exploit things even more, because we understand more of nature's secrets. So that's the first thing, as far as I understand, is the Virat Rupa is this kind of external thing, with especially like with vibhuti matsattvas, with these specific energetic incarnations and things like that. And a little bit more advanced, and there's this Hiranyagarbha, and there's this Garbha seed, this beautiful golden effulgence formed. Now there's a person behind them all, you know, behind all the different manifestations that we see. There's kind of something, a seed, a seminal seed, which is connecting them. Remember, we were talking about Umberto Maturana, who's this Nobel laureate candidate in South America, and very nice. He came to a lecture we gave on Jung, with his followers, and then he said, please come to my whatever institute tomorrow and want to talk more about this. It's very interesting. And bring your friends. And so we're maybe about 8 of us devotees, and yet just about the same number of people on his side, ladies and everything. And so really, he was concerned not with the encounter of just, two egoistic personalities, but the two communities communicating, and it's much more, profound connection then between us. So I would classify him as like that. His realization seems to be like, behind it all, there is, some kind of personality, some seminal, force. And then finally, the full Paramatma. The Paramatma, I would say, is again where we begin to see the hand of God in things. We don't see God as a person so much. Papa calls it a form direction through the supersoul. Form direction through the intelligence. The Paramatma is form direction through the intelligence. And by looking at things from contemplation, perspective. And you can argue it this way and that way. You can use your rational empiricism, like a mundane wrangler, scientist, blah, blah, blah. But I still believe that, behind it, there is, the hand of God. And the guy, doesn't say, I'm going to be God. But he sees that personal intervention, like somebody, pushes you back to the right moment. You slip and you stumble and you go off the curb, and at that moment some motorcycle goes right by and would have killed you. And so many times I think our culture is that so many people have experiences of this, but our modern industrialized culture doesn't give any perspective for it. So this, in sociology and psychology, there's so many people have had psychotic experiences. But if you look at what they're talking about, they're like mystical experiences. And R.D. Lang and the politics of experience, he goes right into that. Reading the Bible, talking about those two levels are there. There's the people who appreciate the Virat Roop, and there's the Hiranyagarbha yogis, and then there's Paramatma bodies who can see directly, Brahman, going to the next level like that. So that's the, comprehension I'm understanding.
All right. Well, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Well, thank everybody else also. And we wish you a happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day from here in beautiful Boise, Idaho.
Yes, we have a little Rathyatra here on the Big Island. It's for the 4th of July parade, so we're not going to have class on Saturday.
Oh, also, too, here they join the parade. I think it was also in New York, too, no? I mean, in Washington, D.C. And also, they kind of like stuck the Rathyatra card not near the end now, because the organizers feel it gives them like this little flip at the end. And the reporters have come to us. They come and they ask interviews and stuff. And they're saying, actually, your float is the real, heart of that, of the festival and stuff. Otherwise, you get the Budweiser beer wagon, Clydesdale horses, and two starlets sitting in the senator's, Cadillac and stuff,
It's the same in Hawaii. Every year we're in the Martin Luther King parade, and they always put us at the end. Because they just know we're the most excited. They're all quite boring.
In the what's the one?
You save the best for last.
Scottish bands. I remember it was in New Orleans. They have all these flatbed trucks, and the big ones would be like 50 feet long or something, with a tractor, unit in front pulling. And everybody decorates them, So the devotees did one of those in New Orleans Rathyatra. And the first year, people were throwing beer bottles at them. Go home, Hare Krishna. You got to be chanting and knocking the beer bottles down at the same time. And the second year was, the Hare Krishnas are back. And the third year was, hey, the Hare Krishnas. So when I was there last, they put the devotees at the very big, very last every year. And they have this face of Jagannath. It's about 10-foot tall face. And I walk in the temple and just turn the corner. It was right there in front of me. It was like shocking. I was like, ah! So it's on the back of the cart, and it's 10 feet tall, and now the festival. One of the festival phrases is, the parade's not over till the black man smiles. And then behind that, you got like one police car. You got a guy's got the, you know, got this. He sits there like for 45 minutes behind this, you know, parade, going behind the police car. So I don't know what this guy's situation is, but he's sitting there with his 10-foot tall face of Jagannath in front of him for 45 minutes with the Maha Mantra playing over and over and over and over and over again. You know, it'd be somebody who died and said, "Okay, I'm going to escape from you, Krishna." Yeah, try and forget this fella. So anyway, Rathyatra Festival Ki Jai.
You know, I just wanted to mention that Narahari Prabhu is going into surgery, so we should his well wishes for a quick recovery.
Well, else why not wish that he dies and goes back to Goloka?
That would definitely be the better of the scenarios.
That's the two options. Yeah, the surgeon might say, well, you know, when he died, he had a big smile on his face and said some kind of strange thing like, "Merry Christmas." I couldn't figure out what he said. "Merry Christmas" and smile. Okay. If you get to heaven before I do, dig a hole and pull me through. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hello. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Okay.
Srila Prabhupada.